Wisconsin Sports Daily, served up by Wendy's here on 1250 AM. The Fan.
That dude.
That's right.
Ryan Wood, Packers beat writer for the Green Bay Press Gazette, joins us now. Follow him on Twitter at @ByRyanWood, the award-winning one himself. Ryan, we played a little bit back of Brian Gutekunst. We have now played back LaFleur. We'll do that after we get off the phone with you. Your thoughts on some of these roster decisions that were made by the Green Bay Packers here in the last couple of days?
Can't say I'm really surprised by anything all that much. You know, I did think what was difficult in terms of projecting a 53-man roster was, as I looked at the offseason roster, there was more than 53 players that could have made this team. I felt that way just tracking through training camp, the entire offseason program. So who were they going to choose, right? And ultimately, a Christian Welch linebacker who was fourth on the team last year with as fourth most special teams reps, he doesn't make the cut. Aaron Mosby, a defensive end who had a really good preseason finale against Baltimore, he does make the cut. Yeah, it's little decisions like that that could have gone either way. But as far as any big surprises, I didn't think – there's two areas, Sparky, I didn't think they had. I didn't think they had a backup quarterback on their roster. I didn't think they had a kicker on their roster. Lo and behold, Brian Gutekunst agreed. They did not have a backup quarterback or a kicker on their roster. So I don't think anything was all that surprising.
See, that's the difference between you and I. I get surprised by more stuff than you do because I live – in my own little la-la world. So there are things that surprised me. I guess the first thing that surprised me was I was surprised Anthony Johnson Jr. got let go. I did not see that one coming. And you were not surprised by that? You didn't think he played well enough?
I wouldn't say I wasn't surprised. I wasn't shocked. All right. It's not about playing well enough as a safety. It's about special teams. Zane Anderson had double the special teams reps last year as Anthony Johnson Jr. Sure. That was ultimately a decision.
For me, I guess my question is to you. Do you get concerned that they're focused so much on special teams players per se at the bottom of this roster, and then maybe it possibly affects their depth at some of these positions if injuries occur by going with a better special teams player versus the better player on their other position, whether it be on defense or offense?
I don't think so. Now, we have no idea. You know, over the course of an 18-week season, there could be a position that gets ravaged with injuries, and we just don't see that coming.
Sure.
I mean, that can absolutely happen. It's a war of attrition each fall. But let's just – we can't predict that. Bottom of the roster spots are decided by special teams. You want your best special teamers to take those last four or five positions because that matters too. Especially with the league that's trying to bring back the kickoff and trying to reinvigorate special teams, that phase matters. You want your best special teamers there, which is why I was surprised more that Christian Welch didn't make the 53. And I know Aaron Mosby had the interception, he had the sack against Baltimore, but I don't think he provides as much on special teams. Right now, defensive end edge rush is the premier position where linebacker isn't. So sometimes you'll take the upside at a premier position over a special team where safety is not a premier position. They also have a lot more depth there, not just with Xavier McKinney, but two rookies in Javon Bullard and Evan Williams. We haven't seen much of Ketan Oladapo, but he's another rookie from this class than they did a year ago. The safety depth is night and day different than it was last year. So because of that, special teams breaks the ties.
We've seen several players get claimed of the Packers that were released, something we have not seen in quite a long time. I couldn't tell you the last time they had these many players claimed off of roster cutdowns in general. That speaks volumes, I think, to Brian Gutekunst and the job that he's done drafting the last 3 or 4 years.
100%. You know, and that's why I said going in, trying to make this projection, I thought more than 53 players had played their way on the roster. This was a tough year with that. And there's a lot of similarities, you know, because they've drafted, 35 players the last 3 years, 44 the last four. You've got a lot of young guys. I think of the 53, 25 were drafted the last 3 years, almost exactly half. It's a ton of young guys they're all kind of similar. Most of them are pretty good because Brian Gutekunst has been drafting pretty darn well. These decisions could not have been easy inside 1265 Lombardi. It comes down to the nitpicking, the smallest minute. Do we need this more? Do we need this? And those type of considerations, especially this year. So, look, the point one place specifically, the receiver position, they had 8 NFL receivers on their team. I truly believe that Samori Toure at some point this season is going to make a 53-man roster. Right now, he's on the Chicago Bears practice squad. At some point, I think he's going to be on a 53-man roster. He was wide receiver 8 in this camp. Yep. Matt LaFleur was saying he's never seen that before. He's never seen that kind of depth. What do you tell Samori Toure? I don't doubt that he can play in this league in 2024, but you never have a chance when you have this kind of number. So, there was a lot of depth here for sure.
Are you surprised they didn't trade some of these guys that obviously got claimed? Like, for instance, I rather would have had DeBose over Malik Keith. They kept Malik Keith instead. I was not surprised that Grant DeBose got picked up. And then on top of that, you get picked up by Yami, who wants to throw it all over the field anyhow. So that's a great landing spot for him. I guess I'm a little bit surprised that they weren't able to move any of their guys for draft picks, considering they traded a draft pick themselves for a guy that, for the most part, has been considered a bust in Malik Willis for the Titans.
Well, we disagree on Heath and DeBose. I'll tell you that right now. I think Brian Gutekunst gave a good rundown of why Malik Heath over Grant DeBose. Not just he's been a playmaker. He's been a steady, solid guy that shows he can make plays since day one of camp last year as an undrafted rookie. And on through the regular season, had obviously the late touchdown catch against the New York Giants last year, Monday Night Football. But he does the dirty work. He's a tremendous blocker,
yep.
Special teams contributor. All those things are what you're looking for in a wide receiver 5 or 6, which is what he'll be. I'm not surprised they didn't trade, because the trade market for a wide receiver 6 isn't very high in the NFL. You know, a backup quarterback, okay, but it's typically those type of players. They're NFL players. But you wait until they become available because you know they're going to become available. There's an influx. You wait until you don't have to give up an asset to do that. And you can only make a trade if you have a trade partner. Usually you don't find trade partners for those type of players.
Talking with Ryan Wood of the Green Bay Press Gazette. Follow him on Twitter at @ByRyanWood. Do you feel like this is an upgrade at backup quarterback with Malik Willis?
He's a heck of an athlete. You know, he's a dual threat in a way that Sean Clifford and Michael Pratt just weren't. He doesn't have a lot of experience. Look, if the Packers could turn cheat mode on and just pick who they wanted to be their backup quarterback, and there's no, it just be in a vacuum, Ryan Tannehill would have been a perfect fit.
Thank you.
That would have been the ideal scenario. But you know what? They can't make Ryan Tannehill, who has waited this entire offseason, intentionally sat out, not signed with the team, because he hopes to be a starter again. They can't make him want to come to a clear backup situation behind Jordan Love, where there's really no hope at all, unless there's an injury, to be a backup again. They can't make him want to do that. It's very clear that's what Ryan Tannehill wants. He wants to be this year's Joe Flacco and get that chance to start and still play. So if you can't make a guy want to do that, what do? Well, you go and you find a third-string quarterback on another team's roster that has a lot of upside, but very unproven, very inexperienced. Malik Willis is more talented than Sean Clifford or Michael Pratt. There's no question about that. So that makes him long-term a more intriguing developmental prospect. And usually talent wins in the NFL, even at quarterback, right? So if he's got more talent, you teach him the offense, and hopefully you hope he gives you a better chance to win a week or two if you need to without Jordan Love.
And coincidentally, he has the same agent as Jordan Love and David Mulgata. Just coincidence.
Yeah, it doesn't hurt.
Just coincidence that ended up being that way. Running back A.J. Dillon. I mean, you listen to Goody, I feel like I should go to church and pray for A.J. Dillon. I mean, what are we talking about here?
Yeah, very surprising, because usually next singers don't cost you a season. And the Packers, this is what's interesting. The Packers didn't need to shut him down for the season. They only use one injured reserve designation to return. That's on Jonathan Ford, defensive tackle. They could have used two. So they could have used the designation to return on A.J. Dillon. I don't know why they didn't. Certainly, the injury is somewhat significant to get in this situation. But I thought Matt LaFleur was very interesting that, you know, they had a clear vision for what A.J. Dillon could mean to this Packers offense. And as Matt LaFleur was describing it, he specifically mentioned two back sets. You almost got the feeling that, as he said, it wasn't just going to be as a ball carrier. Maybe a little bit of an H-back, maybe a fullback type role.
That's what I wanted.
Versatility is what they want as a bigger back. Could have filled a role there. I think he was making the team, without the injury, as that type of a role player. And now they don't have a guy like that on their roster. So, that was surprising not to use the designation to return on him. But, yeah, you certainly hope that he's okay. And while his career is probably over in Green Bay, that he can, you know, find a home elsewhere.
I would imagine to begin in Brazil, if Marshawn Lloyd is ready, that Wilson will be the number two back until Marshawn Lloyd gets up to speed.
Probably. Talked to Marshawn Lloyd today in the locker room. He unsurprisingly said nothing about his hamstring. There were no hints there. These rookies, man. You can't get rookies. Maybe a veteran player will give you a little bit more. Nope. Canned answer. One day at a time, and we'll see how it goes. I have no idea how his hamstring's doing. As soon as his hamstring is healthy, I do think Marshawn Lloyd showed some spark, showed some juice. So some burst, explosion, but he's got playmaking ability, and I think he'll be running back too. I do think that at some point, but when that'll be. And ultimately, look, Emmanuel Wilson had another really good preseason. So there's some depth there behind Josh Jacobs. The question is obviously how much are they going to just ride Josh Jacobs, because he is built like a workhorse, and he is Josh Jacobs. I mean, that, as long as he's healthy, your running back room is in a good place.
I got one last one. That right guard position, Morgan and Sean Ryan. LaFleur hinted at after an Andy Herman question about rotating those guys in and out during games, which I hated that last year. I still hate it. Any idea of who actually is going to get the first chance at this bad boy in Brazil yet?
It'll be Jordan Morgan as soon as he's I don't know about Brazil, but as soon as Jordan Morgan knows the offense is comfortable enough to take all the snaps at right guard, he'll be the starting right guard, and I don't think they're going to look back. The question is Brazil. I don't know. I have no idea, given the time that Jordan Morgan's missed with the shoulder injury in camp, if he'll be at that comfort level by that time. Before the shoulder injury, it was very clear they were preparing Jordan Morgan to be the starting right guard week one against the Eagles.
He has Ryan
that was
Wood.
An open question mark. And, yeah.
Go ahead.
That was it, Sparky.
All right, good. You did a great job. Really good. I mean, I don't know if we're going to win any awards, but it was really good. Ryan Wood, Packers beat writer for the Green Bay Press Gazette. Follow him on Twitter at @ByRyanWood. And he's a Mets fan, too, if you want to talk to him about the Mets. Ryan, thank you so much.